All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favorite parts of the show where I get to hear from you guys back at home and provide you with answers. So let's dive right into your questions. First question is from Vanessa. She asks, now that Winnie the Pooh is public domain, the story is being turned into a horror slasher film. What are your thoughts on the public domain, and do you think this corrupts Winnie the Pooh? My thoughts are, of course, it corrupts Winnie the Pooh, and that's the point. And if there's been one theme in this episode, if there's been one theme in our society, it's that we are a society that is inching closer and closer to normalizing violence. So it makes perfect sense that the first idea someone has is to turn it into a slasher film. And it's unfortunate because, that is such a classic Winnie the Pooh. Everyone grew up listening, watching Winnie the Pooh, having Winnie the Pooh stuffed animals. And it's a huge reason why I am so concerned as a parent with my child watching TV. My child is almost 16 months and he still has not watched any television because I can't trust what's on TV. Everything has become corrupted, even the ones that aren't as obvious. When you see this introduction of the trans and the gay agenda everywhere, when you hear Disney executives talking about, oh, we're going to just make everything gay and make, you know, just try to make everything trans everywhere. It's an unfortunate society for our children to grow up in, and I think it's incumbent upon parents to just simply acknowledge that this is where we're at. Next question. Why do you think school shootings happen mostly in America as opposed to other countries, even the most violent ones? What logical steps can the United States take in reducing or ending them without infringing on the rights of its citizens? I think the answer to that is because America has become an increasingly faithless society. Has become an increasingly spineless society. And a lot of that is due to the fact that we worship Hollywood. The Bible talks extensively about idolatry, and I always encourage people that even if you're not religious, you should just read the Bible objectively, as if it's just a book. And it's just incredible how many times you're going to go, bam, that's right, bam, that's right, bam, that's right. When you have a society that's completely faithless, you should know that it isn't actually faithless. So let me try to explain that thought. We live in a society that's increasingly more atheistic, but there's no such thing as an absence of faith. It's always a conversion of faith. And what I mean by that is that people begin worshiping climate change, or people begin worshiping Black Lives Matter. People begin worshiping celebrities, and celebrities tell them, oh, you know, you should abort your children 9 months in the womb, and they don't know what to do with that information other than to say, okay, well, I like Taylor Swift, so I must also like all of her ideas about what I should be doing, and I should be marching for my body, my choice. Even in societies that we know that are violent, like you're talking about, I presume, in the Middle East, right? For example, the Taliban, they have faith. It's the reason why they beat us in Afghanistan, because they believe in something. And our society believes in nothing but these causes that come around, and they're fleeting and they're momentary. It's your Black Lives Matter flag that turns into your Ukraine flag that turns into your Dr. Fauci flag. We're faithless, right? And that's why it was, you know, a pleasure to be able to host Jonathan Isaac today on the show and to talk to him extensively about why his faith has been important in tethering him to a sense of reality. Next question. This one is from Tyler in Oklahoma, and he asks, did you see Obama's tweet saying that we should take time to remember George Floyd as we grieve the kids shot in Texas? Yes, I did see the tweet, and I really have nothing more to say than Obama's got to Obama. This is why he was put in the White House, you know? It's what he does. He's like, whoa, I see you getting ahead of yourselves, and you're being upset about something, and I see the nation potentially coming together on a certain topic and grieving, but let me remind you that we should still hate white people. All right, guys, a quick note from our sponsors, and then when we get back, I will answer your last two questions. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is officially grilling season. And you know that I'll be getting all of my beef, chicken, and seafood from Good Ranchers this summer. Good Ranchers is actually giving away 2 free ribeyes, that's $100 in value, to my listeners for a limited time only. You heard that right. Go to goodranchers.com/Candace and use my code Candace to get 2 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes free with your order. With Father's Day around the corner, this is the perfect time to try a box of Good Ranchers. What better way to show your appreciation for dad than with a box of 100% delicious American meat? You can make a one-time purchase, or you can subscribe and save $25 on every box. Again, they're giving away 2 free ribeyes, $100 in value with your order. This is a limited time offer, so do not miss out. Other places are going to charge you over $50 per steak for ribeyes like these. Good Ranchers is giving you two for free. Good Ranchers is giving you two for free. Go to goodranchers.com/Candace and claim your ribeyes today before they run out. All right, next question. Who would win in a fight, Matt Walsh or a bear? I'm gonna go with definitely a bear because a bear drinks natural spring water and Matt Walsh drinks Dasani water, and that can't be helping him. He's basically poisoning himself. He's not going to stand a chance against the bear. And I don't care about any of you big baby gang squad, whatever you guys call yourselves. I don't care about your opinion about that. I'm sticking to it. Matt Walsh is a bad person who drinks Dasani water. Final question. What would you do if your child told you that they were gay? Wow. Okay, this is a great question. I'm only laughing because I've been saying to my husband that it's so funny to me that people that are upset about my perspectives about the increasing alphabet soup, LGBTQIA, and all of the nonsense that derives from it, always when they mean tweet me say, I hope your son grows up to be trans. And they mean it as an insult. So it's kind of one of the greatest self-owns when you say that and you mean that as a pejorative and as an insult. But regarding the topic of gay, I had a very fascinating conversation years ago that I didn't fully understand. And I have been able to comprehend it more as time has gone by with a gay man who I work with. He's a conservative. And I say he's a conservative because he believes that it is the act of having sex that the Bible speaks out against. So he's very formed in his ideas surrounding gay So he's very well formed in his ideas regarding the LGBTQ agenda. And it's interesting to hear it from his perspective as somebody who is a gay man, but won't have gay sex. And something that he said to me was that throughout his entire life, he felt that of all of the gay people that he had been around, perhaps 5% of them were actually gay, and the other 95% either had daddy issues or were just being a part of a society that suddenly started celebrating gayness. And I thought that was a really strange thing to say until the trans thing started, right? Until we went from a society where I didn't graduate with a single individual that was trans. And some people might say, oh, it's because they weren't comfortable coming out as trans. Well, they should feel comfortable now, obviously, and they still are not trans. So we had some gay kids, we had some lesbian kids, we didn't have any trans kids. And now you're looking over in California and you've got an explosion of children that believe that they're gay. And I think this is what he was talking about, which is that the society has actually been programming children to think you can pick your gender. And he was talking about when he was growing up, there was a big gay push, right? So you had the explosion in the 90s, Ellen DeGeneres came out as she was gay, and it was this big cultural iconic moment. Melissa Etheridge, this big cultural iconic moment. And then suddenly society said, gay is now a narrative. And it's the reason why when you look at these rates of, you know, the LGBTQ community in other countries, they're just not as high as it is in America. So that's just kind of me giving you my thoughts on me thinking that there's probably a lot less gay people and a lot less transgender people that are living in this country. You know, I think for me, if my son, who is very clearly already at 16 months, not gay, I mean, he could not be more masculine or want to run out into the world. If I let him go fight in a war in a pamper right now, he would do it. But, you know, in a wild imaginative scenario, I think you just have to cross that bridge when you get there. And I would definitely want to make sure that it was not a circumstance where you had an adult in his life that was influencing him to believe that he was gay. You didn't have a grooming situation that was happening in the classroom. And it's why I encourage adults to really pay attention to what is happening all around your children, not just in your household. Because as I always say, right now we are in a fight for custody with the state over our children. And the lesbian, gay, and trans agenda, queer agenda is a part of that. So I hope that answers your question. Thanks for joining me on this segment of Candace. If you liked this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To watch, listen to the full show, become a member at dailywire.com/subscribe.